All right, second hour of the Lowdown underway. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, Damian is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Another reminder for you to join Sports 1140 for the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival. That's August 19th at the California Museum. Step back in time and enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era with samplings of the finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region. In addition, enjoy live entertainment and delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Purchase your tickets at KHTK.com. Well, the trade deadline is over, but there's still some last minute and last second deals. I mean, basically, you have to be into the league office by one. So, Ken, we're about 3 minutes past that. But even during your update, I saw a couple of things coming across on Twitter. Looks like the Yankees have made a move. They've moved one of their starting pitchers, Ivan Nova, to the Pirates. We mentioned, I think, during the break, Jonathan LaCroix, who turned down a deal to go to the Indians, has accepted a deal to go to the Rangers.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yeah. And even what, Jeremy Jeffress, one of their bullpen guys?
Yeah. Totally. He's a closer. Great action.
So stuff keeps happening. And there's still more word that the Giants may be going after Matt Moore from the Rays. Nothing has been officially listed, but if that happens, that's a guy that's under a contract for a little bit more time, I think up through like 2019. So, man. Trade deadline's been eventful this year for baseball.
Looks like thus far, who do you think? Well, I guess with the trades today, two teams have been winners today. But thus far, with all the activity, it seems like four teams have really made some things happen.
Yeah.
The Cubs,
mm-hmm.
the Indians,
yeah.
the Rangers, and the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And if the Giants, well, they did get Will Smith earlier, bullpen help for Phil Bickford and Andrew Susak. If, in fact, they end up with Matt Moore, that'll be a nice move. And now multiple people are saying it, but we'll see if we get some confirmation on that and what they had to give up to do it. But we shall see. But I can tell you this, the first time in my lifetime that I can remember, Ken, I am seeing the Yankees being the team that's a fire sale.
I know, right? They're always the buyer.
Yeah, they dealt Chapman. They dealt Andrew Miller over the weekend.
He went to Cleveland.
Yeah, Beltran today, and now Nova. I mean, it's not a complete every, but that's a – and all for prospects. So this last offseason, too, was the first that I can remember that they didn't spend on a free agent. They didn't buy somebody.
That's right.
And so they're definitely going through kind of a remodel.
Is this the last year that they have A-Rod on the books?
No, I think
one more.
Please.
Good
somebody,
Lord.
They can't just, him.
Seriously, they can't just buy him out and be like, hey, man, don't come
they
back.
They might. They just might just do
don't
that.
Don't come back. We're good.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
Anyway. What about Sabathia?
Yeah, and somehow he's still there.
He's still on the end. Teixeira.
Yeah.
They got to pay all those guys.
Yes.
Crazy money.
Yeah. So they lightened up the load on a couple of big contracts, but wow, some rebuilding. A-Rod's got, 1 year left after this.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well, exactly. That might fall in line with my Three the Hard Way coming up, but let's go ahead and hit today's edition of, we'll get that in a second. Three the Hard Way. Always want your reaction at 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Normally there's three of us. Damian is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. But let's do it with Three the Hard Way.
All right, here we go. NFL training camps, officially everybody is active and doing their thing effective this weekend. But there are a couple of big, big players, all pro players, franchise type players that are a little unhappy with their contract. Now, they're going about it the right way. They've expressed their demands and their concerns, but they still come to play. They came to camp first day ready to rock. So the question is, and their situations are a little different, but I'm wondering, which of these two will get a new deal first? They both said they wanted it to happen before the regular season starts. Will it be Michael Bennett, the all-pro, the stopper for the Seattle Seahawks, where defense is what they're all about, and he is a huge part of it? Or Antonio
Brown for
the Steelers, who is an all-pro receiver for the team that's probably going to score more points than anybody in the league, so he is super important to them. Which one gets a new deal first?
I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. The reason why, I think you want him the important. Well, they're both important to their team. That goes without saying. But I just think you want to be in his 100% fluid lock and step with Ben Roethlisberger going into the season. I don't think you want to miss time. I think you want to be ready. I think you want to be sharp. And the other reason, Ken, I'll say it, is because was it last year that Cam Chancellor sat out for so long?
And they realized how much they missed him.
Yeah, and I think his teammates saw it and was like, well, I can wait, and then I'll finally win, when I need to win. So I think I'll lean with Antonio Brown.
I go the opposite.
Okay.
I think because of what happened with Cam Chancellor last year, and they realized, oh, my goodness, we can't really do what we want to do without him in there.
Yeah.
And I also think that Seattle knows, as wonderful as Russell Wilson is and as interesting as that offense can be sometimes, they're built on that defense. And Michael Bennett is a huge, huge part of that defense. And I think the fact that he came in, he said, hey, I think that I need to have a new contract, but I'm not going to hold out. I'm going to be here. I'm going to play because I don't want to let my teammates down. But I feel like because Seattle knows that that's the side that their bread is buttered on,
yeah,
I think they're going to get him his deal before the Steelers get a new deal for Brown.
I think, in my opinion, contract holdouts are might be my least favorite thing in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get it. Athletes should do it. Whatever. It just, that's frustrating. I mean, when they're making a lot of money, football's a little bit different. It's about guarantees. That's not why I love sports at all.
True. But for Michael Bennett, think about what he does in that position. And he's getting $4 million.
Yeah.
And then $6 million next year.
Yeah.
And his point is, look at all the other guys playing this position, not as half as well as I've been playing this position. Not half as good. And they're making almost double what he's making.
Yeah.
So he's got a point.
He does. Well, most of these guys do for sure in football. So we split on that. You say?
I say Bennett. I say because yeah. Seattle knows it's all about defense there, and they got to lock that guy up.
Yeah. Two valuable players. Right? Both of them got to get it worked out.
And it has to happen before the regular season starts, yes. So they're going to be in trouble because then that player is going to kind of start to fade out on you, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get the next one. Well, I'll just piggyback off of today's big story, which is the trade deadline. We see it in the NFL. We see it in baseball. We see it in basketball. So just kind of that generic backdrop, what is the trade you would want to see happen, whether it's with baseball, your team, football, any trade you'd like to see happen that would make either your favorite player in a better spot or your favorite team in a better spot?
Wow.
Any trade.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
I've said it for weeks, if not months, and I still stick with it. Rudy Gay.
Okay.
Ben McLemore for Russell Westbrook. Just 1 year.
That's the only way I could – you think OKC even remotely does it?
Yeah. Because what do they get in exchange? They get a proven – 20-point-a-game small forward.
Yeah.
And they need that on a team that doesn't have an offensive identity.
Yeah.
So he'll be the guy that they go to. And I think they might be able to find a use for Ben. I think Ben just needs a brand-new environment,
mm-hmm.
brand-new start, whole new situation, and I think he might be a bit more effective. But they want Rudy in that situation.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be able to keep Russ. He's not going to re-sign there. At least no one thinks he is.
Yeah.
And if he does, what are they going to have to pay that guy? $300 million to stay there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to get anything if they don't if they let him walk. So it's their chance to get something of value, and I think that's the best case scenario for them, really.
Yeah,
I can't see any other team having enough to really trade for him.
On the Kings side of things, you just take the chance that
you just take it
one year with Westbrook, see if it can work. If not,
yeah, he's not going to stay here.
Yeah.
So all you're really doing is saying, look, we want to open up our Golden One Center, and we want to be the flashiest, most exciting, most turbulent team that you could possibly ever watch. You bring that individual into this arena, I think that'll make it definitely must-see TV.
Yeah. Man, I just don't know if OKC – I don't know. I don't know what their options are, what even kind of calls they're getting. I think they have to do their due diligence and take calls from other teams because you do have the risk of exactly what happened with Durant, him just walking
right.
and getting nothing.
You get nothing.
But I just feel like there would be a better deal for them out there. But I don't know.
Is there? I mean,
I don't know.
Because here's the deal. If they take Rudy and he does what they want, he gets 20 points. Okay, they got to pay Rudy 16, 17.
Yeah.
Right? He might. I don't think he's going to get a max. It's Rudy Gay. He's had his max. Ben, you don't really have to pay Ben a whole lot of money, no matter what he does.
Yeah.
So they're saving money. Either way, they're good to go.
Yeah.
And they have something they can possibly build on. And they can start thinking about their future. What are they going to do? Hold that guy hostage? They tie up all your money with him. And you don't really have any room to go do anything and bring somebody in to help him. You know what I mean? If they mm-hmm. do re-sign Russell Westbrook to a long free agent deal, doesn't make any sense. Their hands are tied.
Yeah.
I think. So go on and send him on over here. Bring him on over here. You can have Rudy and Ben. A couple of basketballs.
Yeah.
Bag of basketballs, as they
sweeten
say.
Sweeten up the deal a little bit.
Yeah.
Sweeten exactly. it up a little bit.
Exactly.
A little sweetener on top.
Send him on over here. He gets to open up a flashy, brand-new, state-of-the-art, you can see it from space arena.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be watching because it's going to be him on the team with DeMarcus, see how that works out. And I don't think he's ever really played with a prominent big man before. Because they never really had one that demanded the ball
right.
in Oklahoma City. So I wonder how that would work out.
Yeah.
I think it might be interesting to see both of those two on the court together.
Well, I haven't been able to, so for my answer to that, I haven't been able to come up with the exact names in return because I've been thinking about a lot of different things. I wasn't going to go basketball, but when you brought up Rudy, then I was like, okay, I'm going to go right back to the Kings. I'm thinking Yankees. I'm thinking Giants.
Right.
I'm thinking Raiders, how to make these teams better. But I'm going to go moving out the big fella, DeMarcus Cousins. But that's where if you're doing that, you are changing the face of the franchise. You're changing the direction you're going. But you also need to get some quality in return.
And you have to get, what, three?
Multiples,
right?
Yeah. Multiple.
You have to get three players back.
Yeah.
But what team's got three quality players that you want that they're going to be willing to ship out?
Well, the couple of candidates that I've thought about before.
I don't want draft picks.
You don't?
Nope.
I'm interested in one team that I would be interested in with draft picks would be Boston.
Of course.
Just because they've got Brooklyn's number one, and I think that's going to be a really high-level pick. And I think Boston has a need, maybe less so now that they have Horford. But that's one team I was looking at. But I'll change it up and do something like it's probably not going to excite people. But I feel like there's a need for help at a couple of positions and trying to get younger. What if you did something like to Washington?
Okay.
For a big man in return like Gortat, nowhere near as good as Cousins, but more than serviceable. Bradley Beal.
Okay.
So now you got a young shooting guard.
And they just signed him to the max,
yeah, he just
right?
got a big deal. Yeah. So you're basically switching salaries
there. He got 5 years, right?
Yeah.
I think because he stayed with them. I think they're all guaranteed, which is crazy.
Guaranteed. NBA. Yeah. And then some sort of future draft pick as well. It's not super sexy.
Right.
But it fills one need in the center for center return, and then you're building it on a young talented player that's been injured. But that's the one I was just kind of spitballing off the top of my head.
And, of course, not that it matters, but DeMarcus is happy because he's with his buddy John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy together.
And that makes them different in Washington. That makes them pretty scary.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But I would not want Gortat.
Okay. And maybe I don't know if they don't really have another young – they don't have a younger really big to count on. But
I do like the Boston situation only because it's Brooklyn's number one.
Yes. And then you're looking at like someone like Avery Bradley, Crowder –
right.
Olenek, some sort of combo return of a couple of those guys back. Again, it's hard to – you're not getting the same level of talent, but you're changing the team, changing the complexion of the team.
All right, that's
just an idea.
That's a choice.
That's a choice.
That's a choice.
Don't love it, but it's a choice. So 339-1140, 1-800-920-1143. The hard way, Ken asked, which kind of holdout situation you think ends first? Pittsburgh's Antonio Brown or Seattle's
Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett. I just blanked on. Yeah, Seattle's Michael Bennett. And trade deadline. Is it happening in baseball? If there's a trade you can make in baseball, football, hockey, basketball, wherever, your favorite team, your favorite player, maybe to move them to make it better, what would it be? Weigh in on that at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. All right, there's some more news coming down, just kind of following Twitter here, about this deal with Matt Moore coming over from the Rays potentially to the Giants.
Okay.
And, gosh, the name I keep seeing, I don't want to know. I don't know that it's for sure yet. They keep mentioning Matt Duffy. So, hearing the Rays.
But he's still rehabbing right now.
Yeah.
He just moved over to Sacramento.
Yeah.
I think he played last night, went 1-for-4.
Which is an interesting move because just based on the move they got Nunez the other day, now maybe Nunez could be your everyday third baseman if you move Duffy.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, who was playing at an all-star level. He's been all over the infield, but I don't know. Maybe made him a little bit expendable. He's a homegrown guy. But we'll see. We'll see what the final another person is reporting. Matt Duffy, Lucius Fox, and Chris Shaw. A nice return for Matt Moore. All three have struggled this year. Tampa always looking to buy low. So that's at least a couple of outlets have reported that might be what's in exchange for Matt Moore. So now if we take it from the Giants' perspective, Ken, if your starting rotation is Bumgarner to Cueto, Samardzija, Moore, and then you figure out PV Kane – pretty good.
Now, why does Moore automatically just leapfrog those two guys? He's 7-7 with a 4 ERA.
Maybe just that he's a lefty.
Okay.
I don't know. Just another lefty to
that
the rotation. And again, he's cheaper. Not that's why you start him, but I mean, if you're trading for him, I think there's some interest. I don't know. We'll see what the Giants have to say about it, but I like it that they made one more move looking like here right before the deadline, and I know that they really high. I remember when we both worked the game, the exhibition game here,
yep.
And he wasn't here, but he's a guy in their prospect that they love is Christian Arroyo.
Mm-hmm.
He's played some short. I don't know if they can eventually maybe move him to third, but that's a guy they're really, really high on. So they've kept him, And I don't know if that's a future spot for him in years to come, maybe third base.
Well, no matter what they do with Moore, I feel like the odd man out has to be Peavy because of what they're paying Kane. That Kane has to pitch.
Yeah.
You're paying him $20 million. He has to go out there and pitch, even if you bring him out of the bullpen for the postseason.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to use him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peavy, I mean, obviously they're paying him decent money, but nothing near that.
Right. And it'll be interesting because that'll be very similar to the way it played out in other World Series runs where Zito kind of had to go to the pen or find a spot start.
Lincecum
had to, yeah. And guys they've counted on before, but if they feel they've upgraded, then they move down a spot.
Speaking of Timmy, I don't think that's working out.
No.
We gave him a 2-0 lead the other day, and the worst thing a pitcher can do is when a team gives you a lead is to go right back out there the very next inning and give it up.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing you can do.
It's brutal.
Yeah. He's got an 8 ERA.
And that's so sad, too, how it's fallen. I mean, there was a time, I don't know how many years ago, but he was the it guy. I mean, he was the number one starter, Cy Young guy. There was a lot to like about him. Lincecum jerseys everywhere. And then he just fell off the earth.
Now, maybe it's because, I mean, he was consistent and he was good for, 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And maybe he's just taxing his body because he's such a smaller frame guy and just getting all that velocity and all that movement and a rather violent motion, as Damian calls it, because he doesn't know baseball. He calls it violent.
Yeah.
But there's a lot happening with
that. Yeah, there is.
And, you got a short, it's not going to be forever. So maybe he's just come to his end. He's made his money.
Yep. Yep. Okay, now the latest on this looks like the Rays get Duffy, Fox, and Santos for Matt Moore. Whatever the case may be, Duffy looks like he's involved in it. Matt Moore is the piece coming back. And will this be enough, Giants fans, to stay ahead of the Dodgers? You added another starting pitcher today. You added an all-star infielder, I guess we could say, Nunez last week. And bullpen help in Will Smith. So I'll say this, Ken, they have been really good in their World Series years about adding subtle pieces that you go, that's okay. Like the Dodgers names that they added sound bigger.
Yep.
In Reddick and Hill and Chavez even. But if these pieces come in and thrive like others have, whether it was Scudero or, even last year they didn't make it, but Marlon Byrd came in and really crushed the ball. They've always found a guy or two that they've added late that has seemed to have an impact.
And there are a lot of guys you can think of, and then they get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Aoki?
Yeah.
The guy that stepped
Nori
up.
Nori Aoki last year,
And there's another one. Is it Travis Ishikawa?
Ishikawa's been up and down different times with this team and
but
on other teams.
Those are postseason heroes from the past. I don't know how much it cost him to get Michael Morris when they had him.
Yeah, I think he was a free agent signing.
Free agent signing,
but they moved on from him. Yeah, so they find these guys. Pitching is important to them. It's smart to do in that park. So we'll see if that's enough. Again, just two games up on the Dodgers. They play the Dodgers, I think, later this month. They still have a couple different series with them. But this is good. This is good stuff for the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Again, some of the other moves today, you had the Mets get Jay Bruce from the Reds. Carlos Beltran going to the Rangers along with Jonathan Lucroy. He leaves from the Brewers. And then the Yankees also moved Ivan Nova to the Pirates. So baseball's got a long season, but these are the kind of things that can give it a little jolt and get a lot of people watching now starting in August here. The last 2 months.
Now, do you think the Giants are okay with the contract for Matt Moore? It gets a little bit higher as they continue on. It's nothing now, in my opinion. $5 million now, that's
great.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Then $7 million.
Okay.
After that, then $9 million after that, and then $10 million for the final year.
That's still pretty good. That's through, 2019?
Yep.
So, I mean, that to have contract, club control for that many years, it's pretty good. Now, again, what kind of pitcher is he going to be? You said he's, 7-7 this year?
7-7 with a 4.09 ERA.
Okay, for a Tampa team that's also 42-61.
Right.
So now put him generally, again, this is a generalization. Guys that go from the American League to the National League usually improve. Not foolproof, but, you take a DH out. There's a few more. That's not true. But the Giants, it's a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
So if he pitches well in San Francisco with a lefty there, I don't know. I think the chances are this could be a nice move for the Giants.
No, I think you're right. I think it does fit in nicely. And career-wise, he's a winning pitcher, 39-28 for his career thus far. So that's what you want to see. And you're right, 7-7 with a 4 ERA on a team that is obviously struggling big time. He doesn't have much offensive support there. So this may be – I think it is a good move for them, especially considering it happens right there at the deadline.
Yeah.
But they make it happen. And they did address the biggest need they had, and that's pitching.
Yes.
Because you had to think that all the injuries were going to help their bench, but not going to help the pitching.
Well, and if Moore is good, Bumgarner's awesome. Cueto's been really good this year. Samardzija is a little up and down, but if you can count on close to three or those four, That'll be tough in the playoffs.
Do you go to a four? Because a lot of teams switch it up to go to three-man rotation in the playoffs.
Well, they won't go past four, I don't think. Right. So there's your four, right, if Moore is good. And then you know that even PV, Kane are available if need be, or long relief, or some versatility, or maybe it's a matchup. Like, hey, PV pitches really well against this team, and that's who you're playing. I don't know. Bochy will have a few more toys.
That's what he wants. Yep. Just some things to move around and do a little bit here. Can Matt Moore hit?
I don't know. I don't know if he can hit like the other guys can.
We're going to find out.
The also thinking about his four ERA, I was thinking, you know, he's in with Boston in that division. Toronto, two of the best offenses. So got to factor that in as well, too.
I think Baltimore is in
Baltimore's a good
team.
Yeah, so three of the top scoring offenses. So he's leaving there, going to join the Giants, and we'll see what kind of impact, in fact, when his first start will be. But Giants, 17 games above 500. They've really had a tough go since the All-Star break. And now they go to Philadelphia, start a series tomorrow. Phillies took, I think, 2 or 3 when they were here. They got to beat up on the Phillies. That's not a great team.
No, they got to get their wins when they can, absolutely, because things are going to continue to stay tight, I suspect, all the way through the end of September.
Yeah, so a lot of the baseball trade deadline moves. We'll discuss that at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Also to come, 2 o'clock, Ken Korak, the A's radio play-by-play voice, will join us. And, you know, it's his job. He loves his job. I know what he'll say, but it's got to be tough every year when you're hopeful, the year kind of doesn't go the way you hope, and then guys that have been mainstays, specifically Reddick, gets moved on like that.
And then why the guys who everyone expected to be moved, like Sonny Gray, why are they holding on to him?
Yeah, sticking around. I know he's having a bad year, but maybe they didn't want to sell low. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe they just want to keep him. But is it just going to be another year and then they're going to do it next year or another time? It's got to be frustrating for A's fans.
Yeah, because it happens every year. We were talking about before how we thought it was encouraging that they hadn't made the big moves yet, and then today they did.
Yeah, the moves happened. So we'll discuss all that coming up. We also will tell you about, we've talked about it plenty, but there's more about it now. The Olympics, just a few days away.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
I'm really looking forward to it, and I think we asked the question, would you even go as a reporter? You said you go for a couple days, but now every day, now you can't open your mouth while you're swimming. Now you can't even put your head underwater. This is brutal.
I know. I have a funny feeling you saying that it's going to get worse is kind of silly, but I have a funny feeling there's more.
Man.
Although there can't be more, right?
I would hope not.
There can't be more.
They better put on a heck of a show. We'll talk about the Olympic journey coming up. We'll do that and much more right here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHTK. So, Ken, you know, fear can be pretty overwhelming. How afraid would you be if you went, not as an athlete, we've talked a lot about the athletes and that are saying no to the Olympics, but what if you had tickets, had some events, and you were in Rio?
It's already completely not, I don't know if it's unnerving, but it's very, very discombobulating to be in a foreign country anyway.
Yes.
Because you're just trying to learn, you're trying to figure out how to get around, how to figure out everything. Now you're in a place where there are more people than would usually be there because of the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. Now you're trying to get around and going to the same place, you know, with hundreds of thousands of other people. And when you get through with a day like that, you just want to be comfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you get through, you're going all over the place, you get back to your hotel or wherever you're staying, you just want to be able to just be comfortable. It doesn't appear as though there's going to be any opportunity for any comfort or any chance to relax or let your guard down, let your hair down at all during the course of the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking as a tourist, if you're there to watch, I mean, I would be afraid hearing all these things about water, water, water. Okay, I'm going to get a bottle of water, brush my teeth with that. Can I shower?
I don't even feel good about that. Where did they get that bottled water from?
Exactly.
If it says Brazil on that bottled water,
no,
I don't want that.
So that just everything would be paranoia.
Let's list all the things that have happened thus far, okay? It's been 7 years in the making, because usually you get that notice way in advance if you're going to be hosting the Olympics.
Yes.
They don't just show up and knock on your door. Hey, man, can we
do
this here?
Yeah.
7 years, $12 billion. That's 12 billion U.S. dollars, right? Here are the issues. First thing we heard of was Zika virus.
Right?
Next thing we heard of was that there might be an issue with the quality of the water. Then we heard that there were used hypodermic needles washing up on the beach where the beach volleyball players are going to be. Then we found out there's a huge budget deficit of like $860 million they need to help the police force to keep them manned and, of course, keep the cars fueled up. They need gas money. So if you call the police, you need to have $5 on gas for them to come help you. Then there's the safety issues, where they were saying that they weren't going to be able to police because of the budget deficit. Then there's now the Metro. So transportation for the Metro line, which is supposed to be in place July 1st, is still not running.
Right.
That's supposed to be line number 4 of the subway to take another 20,000 or so people to and fro wherever they want to go. That's not finished yet. Oh, wait, though. The village where the athletes are supposed to stay, quote, uninhabitable. The walls were leaking water.
Ugh.
So 600 plumbers and electricians rushed into the Olympic Village to try to fix everything. This all happened just yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. I know there was also, I remember seeing a story, I think it was over the weekend or the maybe late last week, there was a problem with maybe for the sailing event, like the docks. And I mean, they're just like stuff that was literally like breaking down.
Right.
But I'm thinking there, I'm trying to decide if it's just like fear and paranoia or, I mean, there are millions of people that live there.
Yeah.
Are they all abiding by this too?
I don't know. I mean, and you have that situation.
Right.
For a lot of the individuals that live there and you go to certain places, it's shanty town.
Yeah.
It's like, and they're stacked up on top of each other.
I know it.
It is crazy. And then the place that they talk about that's 7 minutes away from the opening ceremonies,
Crackland.
The name of the place is Cracklands.
Yeah.
And the people just stay there, and you can imagine exactly what happens in an area like that.
The road to Rio, and you never come back.
Right, and you talk about how every city has issues with getting ready for the Olympics, because it's a huge endeavor that you usually only do once every 25 years.
Right.
And it takes a while, and then they've talked about how other cities, host cities, have been a little behind the clock or behind the eight ball, as it were, trying to get everything ready, but nothing like this, where it appears as though the entire infrastructure of that city, of that area, completely broken down.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Again, I think as viewers of the Olympics, we maybe will get lost in what we're actually watching, you know, the opening ceremonies and the events, the finely tuned athletes. But if there are some horror stories from people coming back, that's going to be amazing.
How, you know what? We won't get lost in it because maybe we'll have a visual cue like the last Olympics that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall one of the top stories of the presentation of the last Olympics that we had?
Of the summer, Winter Olympics
summer.
Or summer?
I think it was summer.
I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
I'm thinking it was summer or maybe it was winter. Bob Costas.
Oh, Pink Eye?
And the Pink Eye.
Yeah.
Was that was winter?
That was winter, yeah, 2 years ago.
And that's all anyone talked about.
That's true.
Now imagine what you're dealing with there
right.
in Brazil. The crew can't get water and stuff. I can only imagine what they could possibly look like.
More than Pink Eye.
Come day 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Of the Olympic
right.
coverage.
And that looked bad.
It looked really. They had to take him off.
Yeah.
They had to replace him because it was bad.
Yeah.
Viewers were like, hey, man, I can't watch this.
Exactly. It's uncomfortable for
right.
me. Poor Bob.
Oh,
my
Bob.
Goodness.
Bob's fine.
Well, we'll see how it all goes. How about this? If you are a high school recruit, one of the prize recruits, you got all all places to play, a lot of colleges calling you. One of them is also your dad. That would be unique. Maybe some pressures to play with dad. Maybe you'd want to play with dad. Maybe you want to get as far away from your dad. Well, Ben Miles, he's a 3-star prospect, one of the top fullbacks in the country. I guess ranked number 3, the son of Les Miles. So you got to figure LSU at least has a shot. But he said, nope, I'm going to Nebraska.
But
play for Mike Riley.
Exactly. But he said something important. His quote was, I want to carve my own path.
Yeah.
And you got to think I'm sure that Coach Miles is not that pleasant to be with at home as a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old, you know, learning the game, training and everything. And maybe he's like, you know what? And probably doesn't want people to think, hey, I got a scholarship because my father
exactly.
is here.
I think it would be difficult to play for your father.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing is that what's happening in Nebraska?
Yeah,
what's
they actually have a pretty
there?
Good recruiting class.
Because Mike Riley, former Oregon State coach, he's picked up Keyshawn Johnson's son.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Jr., yeah.
Yeah, and he also just picked up Les Miles' son. So two top
Something's
recruits
working.
To pick up there. And I know that my younger brother, his name is Joseph Rudolph, and he played at Sac State. He's about 6'5", just a massive kid. But before he went to Sac State, he was at Oregon State for Mike Riley. And even to this day, he says, I love Coach Riley. My coach was always fair to me. I was a knucklehead, but the coach was always fair to me.
Yeah.
And he eventually ended up transferring out and wrapping up his career at Sac State.
Yeah.
But his initial scholarship was from Coach Riley at Oregon State. So he's always had good things to say about him.
Yeah.
So there must be something that the coach does that getting some top-notch recruits to go to a place like Nebraska where we haven't really been thinking about them
Mm-mm.
as a top 20 football program in a long time.
Yeah, 20-something years ago, that was the program to
yep.
go to. They were dominant in Coach Osborne there. But, yeah, I think that would be a difficult decision. I think the positives of playing for your dad would be awesome. But there are, like you said, I think there would be some thoughts like, well, he's only getting the playing time or the reps or the scholarship
right.
or whatever because of his dad. That part would be tough to deal with.
Well, I'm also thinking at that level, what are the positives of playing for your father at that level? Because
yeah.
at that level, you're recruited by all the major schools, so it isn't just, you know, your talent takes you anywhere you want to go. So what are the benefits of playing for your dad? Because you can go anywhere and get yelled at.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and in reality, if it's college football like most other programs, you're mainly dealing with your position coach. I mean, he's still the figurehead, the head coach. Right. Everybody hears his last speech, and that's who, you know, if you have any other issues, you go to them. But you deal so much with your individual coach. But I don't know. I think the positive would just be to be around your dad some more. If you perceive it as a positive, some wouldn't.
Right. You know who made the good choice of playing for his father and it worked out for him?
Who's that?
Ray McCollum.
We made it. 1:40, we got the Ray reference in.
It's my dude.
But it worked out well for him.
It did. Yeah. He played. He said he loved it.
Yeah.
He loved playing for his dad. He said it made him a better player.
Now, basketball would be different. There's a lot more direct contact, I think. But football with so many players and position coaches and stuff, yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it works out for Ben Miles, but he chose Nebraska instead of his dad at LSU. All right, when we come back, the Raiders camp, it's underway. We got some sound from that as the Raiders, man, you got expectations. You got to start fulfilling them. We'll see what it's looking like early at camp. We'll discuss that next. Again, also, Ken Korak joins us at 2 to talk about the day in the baseball trade deadline, certainly the A's going forward. All that and more as we continue on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK. That was real, huh?
Yeah, that really happened.
You guys showed that footage on Good Day. I guess, what's his name? Luke what?
Luke Aiken.
Luke Aiken. A jump from a plane. Looked like he was really high without a parachute.
Without a parachute, yep.
And landed in a net.
Yep.
And survived just fine.
And it worked.
Looks like he's just more than okay.
Yeah. We talked about this last week on Good Day because he was planning and he talking about his plan. We're like, that doesn't seem like a good plan.
No.
And then I don't know if you saw at the end, his wife goes up and just like bear hugs him. Yes. Like, you stay on the ground.
Exactly.
You stay on the ground.
What are you doing to me?
But he did it. Like, why? But I guess because you can.
I guess.
So he did it. He jumped out of a plane without without a parachute.
What is your – what would you say has been the scariest thing you've done as far as a thrill-seeking thing? Not that, but what would you say? Like, hey, did you parachute before or bungee?
No, I have not parachute. I've not done that. The bungee. I guess for me –
raced a car 200 miles. I mean, I don't know.
No,
what's like
I don't. I see. I guess that's. I don't look for reasons to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I don't look for opportunity to do that. I feel like I can just hurt myself just getting out of bed.
Well, no one's looking to hurt themselves.
I don't
but...
know. I think some of those people are. Yeah. And also, my. You know, I was not that it would rattle me, but the 2 years in the military, I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good with all the challenging and the silly stuff. I'm good with that.
Okay.
But no, I don't. I can't think of anything that I would do of that nature that would excite me. Like bungee jumping doesn't even remember.
Yeah, I went bungee jumping once. I was 20, and
it was
I'm afraid of heights, so that's not good.
Well, but, you conquered that then, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, it was one where I did it the first time, just like any great roller coaster. I'm like, I'm going again. Like it was, you know, the second. And then I did it the second time, and I was in the same trip. I mean, I didn't go two different times, but the second jump, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm good.
See, I don't like the not being. I don't like the dangling. That's my issue. I don't have a problem. I could get over the jumping.
Yeah.
Okay, then I've done it, and now I'm just hanging here.
That's
my issue.
That's where I got the weird thoughts in my head. So the first time I did it out at Fairfield. They used to have it by Great America. What's the water park they have over there?
I don't know.
Oh, anyway, the Marine World or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But there was a big crane, 200 and something feet up. You jump off, and then you bounce, recoil a couple times. So did it the first time, totally great. Did it the second time. And then once I kind of came to a stop and then the crane lowers you down, that's where I was hanging. And I'm looking at like the apparatus that's kind of, I'm like, this could break. And I mean, like I got all the bad thoughts in my head and I'm 150 feet, you know, I'm stopped.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let's get down. Let's go.
Let's go, people.
And then once I find, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to do this again.
See, and my problem is I've seen too many movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so no, my issue was doing it over the water.
Right.
And so I'm like, they do a lot of it on bridges.
Yes.
They used to, at least. I don't know if they can do it any longer. And they would jump over, and then they usually would hit right before they got to the water. And then they'd just be kind of dangling. And I'm like, here comes the shark.
Oh, come on. You're thinking of a shark.
Well, I'm like, here comes Jaws. Here we go. Don't take one.
You have all the bad thoughts in your head.
Here comes Sci-Fi Network, one of those 8
Sharknado.
Million. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sharktopus or whatever. Yeah. Here it comes. I'm the opening scene right now. That's exactly how it happens.
Oh, my goodness.
So I've never really considered any of that.
Yeah.
That's just, I love roller coasters, though, man.
Yeah.
I love big boy roller coasters.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that stuff so
See, like,
much.
I've always thought parachuting, it looks like it would be fun, but I don't know. At this point, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do it.
I mean, I guess when you're experienced like those individuals are, the wingsuit seems super fun.
It does seem cool.
But, you know, there's always, unfortunately, there's one that doesn't doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
Exactly. No one wants to be that guy. Mm-mm. All right. Football, we said it at the start of the show. Yesterday was the last Sunday without football. We got football coming from here on out, which is awesome. Preseason action starts this Sunday and going forward. One team so many people are excited about are the Raiders, and I think that's genuine. They should be excited. Earlier today, Ken, on The Drive, Mike Florio, who's really good at this stuff, good insider in the NFL, talked with the crew from the show about the Raiders and one area that everybody is really thrilled about right now with Oakland. Depth is valuable, and that's
absolutely
nice. I mean, you already know they've got some pretty high-level talent, but if it goes more than just one or two deep, that's impressive, so I think that's awesome.
And that is obviously a credit to the general manager, who just received a four-year contract extension, Reggie McKenzie. He's been doing – we talked about this the other day with our Silver and Black Report insider, Chris McClain, about how he's just made all the right moves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to come in there and clean up a bit of a messy situation where they lost their draft picks because of the Carson Palmer trade. And even I think the first signing that Reggie made didn't quite work out. But then after that, he's continued to make the right moves. Great draft picks.
Yes.
Great draft picks. And finding – you know, I actually thought that the Michael Crabtree thing was going to be bad. I was like, okay, you found a veteran that might be bitter. He might be upset he didn't get his ring in San Francisco. He might just be coming there to get paid. But Crabtree ended up being a leader.
Yeah.
And he's found a little more juice there left in the tank, and he's been able to actually be valuable for them as a receiver.
He's been awesome, and I hope he has another good year this year coming up for the Raiders. Again, for more on that whole interview, you can go to KH2K.com. It was The Drive with Mike Florio. But that's it. I mean, it's so awesome to have expectations, and I think people think you can live up to them. It's not just like one or two outlets saying, watch out for the Raiders. It's pretty much consensus that this team is going to be a dangerous team this year.
And doesn't that usually...
That's scary.
That spells disaster when everyone is saying your team is going to be good. Like, people are talking about the Buccaneers as well. I'm like, stop talking.
Yeah, don't say
it. Don't ruin it for us.
Give them 6-10 and let them overachieve.
Don't ruin it. But the Raiders, they're exciting because everyone, like I said before, the two most identifiable, I guess, logos in the National Football League, if not all of sports. It's that Raider shield and that Cowboy star.
I know it.
And you're always looking to see what those teams are doing. And so now you can actually look and say, oh, there's something happening with the Raiders. And so now everyone's getting excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, it was such a long drought. It'd be good. Good for them. Good for the league to have the Raiders good again.
Yeah. Let's I wish they could have been out there over the weekend when Chris was telling us how all the veterans, all the older guys came
alumni.
Out. The alumni came out
That'd
there.
That would have been fun.
That would be awesome to see those guys.
Let's check in on the phone lines here at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mike, welcome to KHDK.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, on the whole thrill seeker deal, I know one of you guys mentioned that you're into roller coasters.
Yeah.
Just a little testimonial to you might want to get that roller coaster riding in before you get too old. I'm in my late 40s, suddenly dropped a lot of weight. You know, I'm like, hey, cool, I can fit in roller coasters again. Went and rode a ton of them with my kids a couple of weeks ago. A day later, man, I ended up in the emergency room with vertigo.
Oh, wow. You know what? I heard that when you get older, for some reason, and you're not even old at all, but when we get older, for some reason, like, we can't take all the up and down and the spinning around.
Yeah, it's really funky. I mean, without getting too clinical on this deal, the older you get, the more you get these calcium crystals in your ears. And if you get them shaken up by being on a roller coaster, it's like having a rock slide in your ear and you go into a permanent case of the spins, dude. It sucks.
Oh, man.
A day and a half later, I ended up in the emergency room. I was puking, cold sweat.
Dude.
The room was spinning like crazy. It was a bad deal, man. And I can trace it right back to the roller coasters, man. And I do a bunch of other stupid stuff. but the roller coasters, man, I was like, hey, this is cool, but, you know, that was kind of a hard hit we just took on that little spin right there. What was that all about?
So what's the fix? Is it just the logical stay off of them, or how do you repair it?
It's kind of funky. It kind of depends on, I mean, if you're really well hydrated, it helps keep those little crystals in your ear in solution, and they don't. The doctor told me they likened it to having a rock slide in your inner ear.
Wow.
It was really funky. It's the first time I've ever experienced this crap, man. And I got to tell you, it was, I mean, I do other stuff. I ride flyboards, you know, the ones that have like the water jets coming out of the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
I do tons of water sports like barefoot water skiing and wakeboard. And I'm a big dude, but it's like, hey, I want to go ride a roller coaster again. Hey, I lost weight. I can fit again. So I kind of went stupid and rode a whole bunch of them right in a row.
Wow.
You know, I'm glad he said that to
Hang
us.
Hang on, Mike. We got something for you, too.
I remember doing a Manly Minute about a year ago about five surprising things about when you get older. And one of them was you can't, once you get older, something about the moving on the roller coaster is not fun like it used to be.
Yeah, I've experienced that, honestly.
Really?
Like, I used to go, I mean, roller coasters. Then sometimes, like, one of the last times, it was more of the motion rides where...
Going and spinning in circles? Or
not even that, where it's, how do I explain it? Like, well, one of them is like as simple as Star Wars, like the Star Tours.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where you're just sitting in a chair, but it's moving around, and the whole place is moving, even if the chair's barely moving. But the way they design it, it's like you're going through space. I'm like, whoa. And then I had just serious issues after. I'm like, man, I feel sick, and I've never had that before.
Man,
I don't like that.
Oh well, we're gonna find out.
Yeah. Well, Mike, hang on. You've won a pair of tickets to Tap Folsom, taking place in historic Folsom on Friday, August 5th and 6th. Showcasing America's best brews. Enjoy unlimited tasting privileges to all 40 craft breweries. Purchase tickets at tapfolsom.com. Sounds like Mike does everything, and then the roller coasters got him.
That was the thing that got him, yeah.
Man, brutal. Thank you, Mike, for calling. We appreciate that. We will break. Come back. We've got our final hour. When we start the 2 o'clock hour, Ken Korak, the great voice of the Oakland A's, will talk about the A's season and certainly about the trade deadline. Josh Reddick has been moved out. So is Rich Hill. We'll talk about that next here on KHDK.